This is a Collider.com audio interview.
This is a nice setup for an interview.
Have you ever been in this part of the Greek?
Definitely not, but I grew up in L.A., so it's pretty epic to be here because I saw some of my formative concerts here when I was, like, in high school and stuff. So.
Yeah, like who?
Radiohead.
You were the reason I didn't get tickets.
Yeah, well, my friend got them for me and him. He had a hookup, I guess, somehow in high school, but, yeah. That was fun.
Since we're doing this so far out from you're in the middle of filming, can you talk a little bit about obviously who you play in the film and?
Oh, great! You're gonna write the water fell onto my shirt.
Now I will.
Yeah.
No, but
okay.
I mean, can you give us a little bit? I mean, this about the character and you know the film and all that.
Yeah, I think Aaron, the character that I'm playing, is just representative of a 25-year-old guy who's really just trying to be in the music business and doesn't really know what that means yet, and I think this is a taste of what the music business is actually like, sort of the seedier side of it, and what it seems all fun and making music and being a part of something big, and then you see kind of the darkness of it, you know, and what it takes to be a famous person and a rock star, and the sort of, I guess, dark habits of some of these people, you know?
Dark habits like what?
Like drug use, yeah. and womenizing and no stability and no home life and no family and sort of just kind of sees he wants excitement but then he gets excitement and he's kind of like, oh wait, maybe being normal isn't the worst thing in the world and not being wild and crazy is maybe not the best thing in the world, you know?
Womanizing's a dark habit.
For some people.
Did you come up with the idea for this script or was it like a collaborative?
I think, no, Nick and I went to Canner's Deli one day, and we're friends, and we're just talking, and he's like, hey, I think it was right after Sarah Marshall, and he's like, what do you want to do now? Because I was having a hard time finding a movie to be, that I wanted to be the lead in after Superbad, because I love that movie so much that I kind of took smaller parts in writing and producing jobs, because I didn't want to jump out in front of a movie that I wasn't going to be as proud of, you know? Because I really appreciate that movie, and so I didn't want to, like, jump out to starring in movies and have them be not good. You know, it's like scary to do a movie that people like, because then what if your next movie just sucks, you know? And he was like, I think you and Russell are really funny together. I had this idea, like, kind of like, you know, we have 72 hours, but he's like off the wagon and fucking crazy, and you kind of have to deal with this insane person. And I was like, I can see that being really funny, you know? So I was like, yeah, you should write it. And we kind of pitched around ideas, and four or five of the main set pieces we kind of came up with during that lunch. And then he just went off and wrote a million drafts of the script. You know?
But why the decision to change the character? Was that done early on or later?
It was done early on because my character in Sarah Marshall is so weird and stalkerish that it was like, I wanted to play like a normal, I wanted to be the audience's perspective. It's like, these people are fucking crazy. I'm you. I'm the people watching. Like, whoa, what if I was in that position? Or what if I was in this position? I found it more interesting than if, it would be weird to watch a weird stalker guy be the main character of a movie. It'd be kind of just hard to get an emotional depth to that at all, you know?
Is there any sort of, like, joke to the fact that you're playing, you're the same person?
I mean, not besides the one we'll make right now. You know, I do find it funny. It is, like, it's weird, but it just, when you watch the movie, hopefully you just won't notice it because it's just a different story, you know?
So Aldous isn't like, hey, you look a lot like...
Yeah, we thought of 10, like, jokes, but they all just seem so cheesy. It's like, have I met you before? You know, and you're just like, it's just, you just got to go out and say, I'm a different character, he's the same character.
So, you know? Forgetting Sarah Marshall isn't referenced in this movie at all.
There's a little reference to it that I think is funny.
Where in the timeline?
I don't want to give shit away, you know? Like, it's better doing these interviews once you've seen the movie, because it's like, oh, I know what you're talking about. Whereas I don't want to give away secret people read it and be like, why should I see the movie? I know all the fun shit that's going to happen.
Just tell us the end.
Yeah, he does. We all die. Everyone, it's a nuclear explosion, and I'm in a refrigerator completely safe.
Nice. Yeah.
What sort of inspiration have you gotten from being at the Greek as far as improvisation or...
I just got here like 30 minutes ago.
So, later.
Yeah.
Maybe. What was it like arriving at the Greek for work?
It was cool. I mean, that was cool. Like I said, I saw lots of formative concerts for me here. So, like, it was pretty great to come here and be like, I'm going to, like, get to go on that stage tonight. That's pretty incredible, you know?
What are you going to have to do to help wrestle in this scene?
For the shooting?
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of like our last moment together. Like, I actually got him here. And it's sort of our last, like, connection of, like, whoa, we actually finished what we accomplished, what we set out to do, you know? So it's kind of like an emotional moment, a closing of the movie, you know?
At this time, is your character pretty beat up?
Yeah, he's fucked. He's been, like, run ragged for 72 hours. He hasn't slept. Like, when you see the movie, it's so hard doing this interview because it's like, once you see it, you saw the journey that how messed up I am from beginning to getting here, you know? But it's still lovely to talk to all you guys. I know there's absolutely no point to any of this, but it's lovely to see you all again and sit around and chat, you know?
Can you just talk about the beginning of the journey? Where you're in L.A. and yeah. he's in London, and so you're sent to London to bring him to L.A. for this comeback tour.
Right.
And so there's challenges in London that take place, or...
All over. London, New York, Las Vegas. We detour from all these places that we're supposed to be going, and... He's fully off the wagon on heroin, you know, and I'm a guy who's used to normal people. So it's like, he just takes me through the fucking mud. He just drags me through the mud with him, and I'm not used to it, you know?
Now, it was your character's idea to want Aldous Snow to come back because he's been away from the scene for so long.
Yeah.
So was your character just pissed off after all the drama you had to go through?
I don't think he's pissed. I think he's just like, fuck, I don't want to get fired. I want to do well. I love this guy's music. I'm like a fan of his, and I want him to succeed, but he's just like, he kind of learns what a mess this guy really is underneath all of the persona, and, you know, it's like a lot of times when you meet some of these people that you really look up to, they're a lot darker and weirder than you want them to be, and not as interesting, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes they say, like, you shouldn't meet your heroes because they'll usually let you down, you know? So it's like, this guy's mean guy really looks up to, part of the reason why he's in the music business, and he's a complete wreck, you know.
Can you talk a little bit about working with Sean Combs? Because some of us
interesting. We could talk about that. That's interesting.
He's been Twittering a whole bunch.
Has he really? Yeah. He's always on that thing. I don't know. I'm not on Twitter. I don't go on it or anything like that. So I don't know much about it. But he's always on his phone. Like, hey, 100,000 people just read this like message that I wrote. And I'm like, cool. Well, I'm playing Wii in my trailer. I don't know. Like,
well, you know
what
stuff he's saying about you.
Yeah.
No. Well, no, he's been saying that you guys are, I forget the term, but like, you know, hold on, I actually wrote it down.
Oh,
it was
great.
Kind of funny. He said, you two are locked in. That's the term that he keeps on saying.
He and I?
Yeah, like where he's locked in while he's filming and, you know, him and Jonah, you know, locked in.
Like friends?
No, just like in the moment or in the scene or just...
Oh. Yeah, he's fucking great, man. You gotta get him to be himself. That's sort of the trick that I'm learning through this movie is a lot of people that go through really classical acting training don't understand our type of movie because it's so improvisational and loose. And if you've just prepared to learn, say your lines exactly how they were written, it's going to throw you off because I'm immediately going to say something that's not in the script and you're going to have to react completely differently than what you planned on doing. You know, so I think Sean... I kind of have to ask him questions, and when he's angry at me, I kind of got to really make him angry at me, is like the idea. So, like, if he's supposed to be angry at me, I'll do something to really piss him off while we're shooting, and then he'll start yelling at me for real. He'll start screaming at me, you know? Like,
what does it take to make Sean Combs angry?
I'll just interrupt him a lot and sort of ask him questions that have nothing to do with what he's talking about, and then I start asking him questions. Well, this is while we're filming. And then I'll ask him questions, like, as my character to his character. And he finally just gets frustrated and starts yelling at me, and it's really funny. Like, that's what we end up using in all the cuts and stuff when we put it together.
Does he know that you're doing this on purpose?
I think now he's starting to pick up on my methods. I do it a lot, though. If you really want someone... I plan on being a director, and when I do that, I think, you know, like, you really have to fuck with people. You really have to make them feel what you're trying to make them feel, you know? Like, if you're trying to make someone happy, you got to try and make them happy. If you're trying to have a normal conversation, you got to have a normal conversation. If you're trying to make them sad, you got to make them sad. Like, I think that's how you get real performances out of people, you know?
By torturing them.
Exactly. Stanley Kubrick made Shelley Duvall go crazy during The Shining.
Yeah.
And it's like one of the best performances ever. I mean, maybe he shouldn't have gone that far, but...
It's been worse.
Yeah, worse. Exactly.
You
I love that movie.
Really good at getting to the reality and the heart of things also. How does that continue in this film?
Well, it's weird because usually our movies have a lot to do with like-minded people. Usually it's me and Seth and Michael Cera or Siegel or whoever, and it's a lot of people like who are pretty similar, you know, in the way they think. And this is kind of like the biggest movie we've made where it's a guy around people, none of whom think similarly to him, you know? You know, Sean's character and my character are like aliens to each other, and Russell's character to my character are like aliens to each other. I don't understand these people's minds. You know what I'm saying? Like, my character doesn't understand how a rock star thinks, because this guy lives in a one-room apartment with his girlfriend. He's not out at, like, a nightclub every night, you know?
Is that not your real life?
No.
Celebrity?
Besides the fact that I make movies, there's nothing interesting about my life at all, unfortunately.
Had any Hollywood experiences with crazy people?
With Sean. He's taken me out a few times. He's forced me, he's kidnapped me into going out to nightclubs and shit with him, and... it's interesting, you know?
What do you do when you sit there and watch him be Puff Daddy all night?
Or P. Diddy. Is it P. Diddy? Or
yes.
Justin.
Or Sean.
Sean.
Yeah, you call him Sean. Like, that's the funniest thing, is I'll go home to my friends and be like, how's work? Oh, I did this scene with Sean, and they're like, you sound like an idiot saying referencing him as Sean. He's fucking Puff Daddy or Pete. You know, it's like you sound pretentious immediately by going, Sean was really cool, he's really normal, but it's like, when you sit and talk to him, he's totally smart and locked in to what you're saying, and you know.
Well, I was looking over the synopsis, and it seems to me like this is going to be rated R. I'm just
going to
go out there.
I'd say so. Yeah. You wouldn't be going too far out on a limb to say that.
So, I mean, there's some definite outrageous stuff, and does that give you a lot of liberty when you're ad-libbing and with the, you know, working with Sean and all the other people on set? You know, pushing, being able to push the boundaries. Or do you purposely hold back a little bit? Or
I don't hold anything back, ever. I say you shoot whatever, and then they'll use what's good, you know? I don't really hold back as far as ad-libbing. I always just go as far off page and explore every corner so that when they're editing, let's say something doesn't work, you have 10 other options to draw from, you know?
So what's like a typical amount of takes on a scene for you guys? Do you ever do something like two
sometimes
or three
we'll shoot a scene all day.
Do you still have to do clean takes for every
yes,
day?
For TV. Yeah.